Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Good evening, listeners of Igala FM. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. I think it's now the right time to thank Dwight and Hermut with their home run program. And yeah, it's now the time where we discuss what we always discuss at this platform, which is economics and business discussions. So you are with me, David Shombe, from 1800 hours until the hour of 1900 hours. And you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. Yeah, and for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, Business and Economic Segment, sometimes it's called Lecture Hall 1. It's a platform at Eagle FM where we discuss topics which are concerned with national and international development. We look at policy direction. And it's also a platform where we engage different experts, either policymakers, analysts, researchers, and every economic mover who are willing to build the Namibia that we want. And it's a platform where we encourage various discussion. We look at the critical topics and everything which has to do with bread and butter issue. And what is also very interesting is that we don't only look at domestic issues. We also look at issues of international relations. We look at political decisions and how they are affecting the economy. We analyze statistics and we put things into perspective, because the aim of the discussion is to make sure that we instill those innovative mind, and we also promote a new way of thinking, and look at Namibia where everyone is happy, where everyone is also advanced in terms of not only economic development, but also in terms of infrastructure, and most importantly, human development, where an individual has an ability and also a capacity to enjoy the natural resources of his or her country, and also being able to be happy about the present and also the future, because we understand that through economics, happiness or life satisfaction is linked or directly linked to the economic well-being of that individual. Now, before we go to the conversation for today, we always make sure that after the deep conversation, we open the line for listeners to call in so they can give their views. Because we understand that conversations which instill or conversation which debated or topics which are debated, we have very good understanding and believe that countries and institutions are not built by yes men or yes women, but they are built by people who can agree and disagree to make sure that they come up with smart ways on doing things. So, as I have mentioned earlier, today we are going to have two guests in the studio. And before we just jump in straight to the conversation for today, it's always very important to make sure that you follow us, Eagle FM Namibia. You follow us in all our social media platforms. You follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You also need to make sure that you follow our e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. It's an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe to it. Like our page, share our page, so that others will also be able to follow when it's coming to economic news, and also to make futuristic economic strategic decisions that can assist you to run your business, can assist you to be a good leader, can assist you to be a good analyst, or can assist you to make choices in terms of investment, and also data-driven decisions, making choices that are based on facts that can also avoid troubles in the future. So the other thing also, there are those who like asking that, which is also very good, to say, no, we are not hearing you. The frequency is out and we are only hearing you in different areas, but not in all, as we usually do. We are moving to the world of digitalization before. We have an alternative best way of doing it, not only when you are in Namibia, but wherever you are in the world. We have Eagle FM app that is operating like any other app, like WhatsApp. Even when you're outside the country, you can listen to our Oshuambo in English, news and also programs. Just go to your Play Store, download Eagle FM. Namibia is an app which has an eagle on it. And also written with red, letters. But that is an app that you can listen to our ongoing show. Just write in your phone. You can listen to the programs which are on air. And you also be able to listen to the previous programs. That is, of course, the podcast, which is actually an open archive, which is a very interesting thing to see, because in a situation where you were busy doing something and you find yourself in a situation where you missed a certain program, you can still go back to podcast, look at the date, look at the host, and you'll be able to replay that. So you can listen and also do your own research and be equipped in terms of knowledge. And the other thing which is also very good is, as we are talking about digitalization, it's not only in the area of, it's cut across, even in terms of church, in terms of, faith-based institutions. We have an IMBA app. IMBA app is it's our app that is a simplification and a smart way of accessing your Ehangano, which is a hymn book, for those of you who go to church, for those of you who attend, happy events, and also unfortunate but life events such as funerals, memorial services. There are situations where you have to sing, but in a point where you don't have a hymn book, or in a point where it could be even a pastor forgot or gave a hymn book to somebody, you can access it very fast and in a very smart way, just doing the same way, like you go to Play Store, then download IMBA app. It's a blue app, which is a sign of music. When you download it, you download IMBA app, take it in your phone, you can listen to, or you can access your Ehangano book. It's a hymn book, not only in Oshuambo, not only Ehangano, we have Oshierero, we have Afrikaans, we have, Sirozi and other local Namibian languages. So just do that, then you'll be able to access your hymn book. So we're going to a commercial break, then we come back to the topic for today.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get some. Yes, dear listeners, welcome back to Business and Economic segment with me, David Shombe. And the conversation for today, we are going to look at the long-term impact of unutilized knowledge. What is the long-term impact of unutilized knowledge? We are going to base this conversation on the recent, increment in, not really to say recent increment, but the ongoing increment in supplying of educators in Namibian market. And also, our conversation is also driven by the recent protest and demonstration by unemployed education graduate sympathizers and supporters of these graduates, who are calling for the system of interview to be stopped, and also who are calling to the fair recruitment processes. They are rejecting the corruption practices being made during those recruitment processes, and they are asking the government to come up with a smart, better mechanism on how to absorb this these education graduates who are not able to be absorbed by the system. The statistics prediction are indicating that we have over 10,000, some are saying around 15,000 young teachers who are in the system roaming around. And just for us to unpack this, I got into the conversation with one of the graduates who is Theophilus Yoroken Inambo, and is a graduate in terms of education senior phase, majoring in mathematics, just to show us and to share with us her experience in attending those interviews, what she wants as she is part of those protesters, what she wants to be done, and also how can government come up with better ways of recruiting these people, and what is the long-term impact of this young, energetic, but unable to enter this, you know, impossible market. So we are going straight to the conversation with Nambo, just to unpack this. And yeah, from there, we are also into to the conversation with one of the teachers and also an activist on system to be changed or recruitment system to be changed. Mr. Mahafa Shipandureni. However, let us look at this graduate, what she has to say.
Yes, we are looking forward with the business and economic segment. We are looking at economic development, and we are also looking at issues which are affecting Namibian economy. It was indicated that the issue of Namibia education graduate is still not solved, and we still have a lot of graduates, around 15,000 graduates, not being able to be absorbed by education system. And there has been a lot of challenges and complaints about the system being not in line with what the students want, and also complaints about the government failing to address this issue. Now, this week, various education graduates have taken to the street to express their views and also to call for the abolishment of interviews, and also government, or urge government, to find a better ways on how to accommodate them. So for us to unpack this, I got into the conversation with Nambo Yorokeni Teoferes, who is a graduate, a teacher by profession, and is also one of those graduates who are still trying to make sure that they advise and also change the system, which is limiting utilization of skills. So Nambo joined me in the studio just to help us unpack this and also to give clarification. Nambo, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment. How are you doing?
Good evening, David. How are you?
And I'm doing very well. Now, yeah, just before we go to the main conversation, as a as a teacher by profession, what were you what were your views when you were final year students? What were you thinking about completing your university degree, and also where you wanted to be in the, maybe before you completed your qualification?
To be honest, David,
yeah,
you being a student in your final year,
yeah,
to us, we were really proud that we pushed through,
yeah,
and we were looking forward that after our university, we will get job.
Mm-hmm.
And little we know that it's tough out there.
Yeah.
We didn't expect what we are currently experiencing now.
Mm-hmm.
However, we thought things are going to be easy.
Yeah.
However, things tend to be different. Even though we have been hearing others crying out there,
yeah,
you know, sometimes when you did not experience it, you will not really understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Now, let us look at, before we go to the main conversation, let us look at also interviews. How many, from your personal experience, how many interviews have you attended? And what was your perspective when we have seen people who showed up to the interview? And how was your experience in that regard?
To be honest, I cannot tell you how many interviews I have attended.
Yeah.
About 50 interviews.
Okay.
And the experience, we are a lot.
Okay.
Sometimes you have prepared yourself, but getting to interview, seeing, like my first interview when I went there, we were 700.
Okay.
So I was so demoralized. I lost hope that among all these people, am I going to make it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
However, we have tried, of all those 700 people, of which people, 5 people were taken to go for oral.
Okay.
And I wasn't part of that
mm-hmm.
group. From there, we got used, we attend interviews, a lot of people showed up, and it's just luck that sometimes you only go there hoping that you will make it.
Yes, now let us look at the cost implication, because I understand attending interviews different part of Namibia, you have to spend some money. How was the cost, you know, involved, especially from your side, and who was assisting you to attend this interview, and what is their thinking?
When it's coming to the cost,
yeah,
it's really a difficult and tough moment there.
Yeah.
Sometimes from the start, money is being wasted on making copies.
Okay.
And then from courier, because some posts are far, you have to courier.
Mm.
And then as we speak, the parcel is $80, which is hard for every graduate to get.
Okay.
And myself, it has been a very, very tough situation.
Yeah.
I am an orphan. I do not have my brother.
Okay.
My mom is unemployed.
Yeah.
I am the eldest of my siblings.
Mm.
It was really hard. However, my mom is a street vendor, and sometimes what the little she's getting is the little she's sharing with me to attend interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I missed interviews because I do not have transport.
Yeah.
And as we speak, I only attend at the all four regions in the north.
Okay.
I've never across to go beyond Windhoek because I cannot afford a 1,000 trip just to go for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot just afford. So it has been hard. And sometimes you apply and then interviews will call you, let me say 3-2 interviews in a week, or some interviews are to be conducted the same day.
Mm-hmm.
You wasted your money on the application form. You wasted your money to Korea. At the end, you are not going to attend that interview because you do not have money, especially on my side now.
Mm-hmm.
I missed a lot of interviews because of finance.
Mm-hmm. Now, let us look at what it has been before this year's, because I remember in the early 2000 there, particularly when teachers were getting this BETD, they were being appointed and few were just being chosen by then. Now, looking at these interviews, and there is a complaint about corruption and also other, you know, mismanagement, or, you know, people from education not following procedures to, you know, to recruit graduates. What do you say about the whole system of interview? Are you also sharing the same perspective to say this interview must be abolished and people must start being appointed?
Back then,
yeah,
teachers were being appointed.
Yeah,
we understand it because there were teachers were not enough.
Yeah.
And then from there, the institution provided or produced more teachers. As we speak, there is a mismatch between what the universities are producing and then the labor market.
Mm-hmm.
However, the interview processes are not transparent.
Mm-hmm.
That's when now we bring in corruption.
Yeah.
That's now when we bring in connections.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are spending their money to go for interviews which are already paid for or which already have owners.
Mm.
And in as much as people are saying there are no proof to provide, we know things are happening. And the trust me, the graduate knows better. So it's the bad part comes in that those who completed earlier are now, you know, a fresh person.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot be compared to someone who has been in the system.
Mm-hmm.
They lost hope. They are no longer reading their books. Even they cannot just compete with the new graduates now.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are saying is at least a fair and transparent mechanism to employ teachers must be established. For example, a database.
Mm-hmm.
Abolish interviews that are too costly. And then you bring up a database whereby people will be placed according to the year of completion.
Mm-hmm.
If someone completed 2017, it's fair for that person to start working than someone who completed 2024.
Uh-huh.
According to my point of view, I think it's very right that interviews could be removed to cut the costs and then maybe have some transparent mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Let us look at the long-term impact of this situation, because statistics are saying that there are around 15,000 teachers in the market. And before we go to how the government is going to do it apart from the interview system, let us look at the long-term impact of, you know, unused knowledge. What is your experience? I know you graduated 2024, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. To look at what's happening, you are a bit fresh, but when you look at the experience of others or those who are telling you stories, those who graduate earlier than you, what is the long-term impact of knowledge not used? Well, how do they feel? Are they demoralized or do they have hope? Or what are they saying, particularly those who have been there for a long time?
People who finished earlier or who have been in the industry for a longer time, they are demoralized.
Mm.
These people do not have hope any longer.
Yeah.
They lost hope to attend interviews.
Mm.
Because really the long-term impact, if we are now to look at the question itself, they believe they wasted, it's a wasted human capital.
Mm-hmm.
Spending your money to attend universities.
Yeah.
Spending your whole time to master the content now on university level, and at the end, you end up poor, not being employed.
Mm-hmm.
And also this, the long term, this is just increasing the gap between the rich and poor.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rich, richer people who have money to attend interviews countrywide.
Mm-hmm.
However, those that cannot just afford will be forced sit home, because you do not have money to attend interviews, you will be forced to just sit home.
Mm-hmm.
And also, apart from now the graduates themselves, the other impacts, we have political impacts like erosion of trust in the governing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If now the education sector or the entire governance is not providing job to people that paid for the courses, or to people that are educated in Namibia, then people will lose trust in our governance.
Yes.
What is the use of one studying when you cannot be employed in your own country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nambole, later, because there are different proposals on the table. There are those analysts who are indicating that these educators are now a lot, and the government must find a way like integrating them either in the Ministry of Education or other things. Let me ask you about the content that you have learned from university. I know you are a graduate of, a senior phase in mathematics and natural science, right?
Yes.
Yeah. When they are educating you at university, were you given extra skills that you can work beyond being a teacher? Let me say, are you able to work in other areas beyond being a teacher? Let me say, if the proposal, like what people are saying, to say these people must be integrated in either Ministry of Education or either being officials within the ministry, just to find a better way on accommodating these people, do you have those skills, or you just education skills that we have got from university?
The universities are providing those skills to students.
Yeah.
For example, a university, apart from the content, your subject content.
Yeah.
They are offering you ICT.
Yeah.
They are offering you guidance and counseling.
Yeah.
They are offering you life skills with part of education, and the other part is also in community based.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say, they are offering you ICT. Mm-hmm. You can be an admin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can work in other industries as an admin, because you have computer literacy.
Yeah.
And also guidance and counseling. You can be a counselor somewhere.
Yeah.
You can guide somewhere.
Uh-huh.
The universities are really providing a lot for the education students, apart from the content.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let us look at other things, because we are also looking at upskillings and also, additional skills. If you are given an opportunity to go and study, let me say, I don't want to say study a different course, just to advance your study in areas which are, admittable. If you get a scholarship, if you get a grant, are you willing to go and study, or you are still in the system?
Now our current system is forcing us to go study.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A different course, maybe. However, even if we are to opt for studying, we are saying teachers are born.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I like teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I'm to given another chance to upgrade my study,
mm-hmm.
I'll still look through education.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just something I like.
Okay.
Like sharing my ideas with someone, and those are my, I like teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, let us look at what need to be done, because we have already discussed the issues of interviews, and now what do you think need to be done apart from interviews? Are you also advocating for building of new schools, or you are advocating for changing of teaching periods like daytime and after hours time?
I am advocating for a lot.
Okay.
To start with.
Yeah.
15,000 are a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you have to look at that statistics.
Yeah.
But those people are not more than the people that are in the current system. So if we are to have assistant teachers, teachers that will be helping those ones that are already in the STEM industry, because they are overloaded.
Yeah.
During our SBS time, we experienced it. They are overloaded.
Okay.
If they are to be given assistant teachers,
yeah,
they will now take up or absorb a lot of education graduates that are in the industry. And also, we are advocating, like, we have a teacher learner ratio that is implemented.
Okay.
And all the seculars.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying every teacher at least to have 30 to 35 learners.
Yeah.
However,
schools
are overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot really say schools must be built, because that will be a longer term.
Yeah.
And people are already demoralized. They are tired. They are not willing to pay for that.
Yeah.
So we can say, while they are still building schools to accommodate learners and teachers, then they can have shifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's to say, some learners attend morning sessions, and then some to attend afternoon sessions, just to separate the learners to accommodate all. And also, we an early retirement will do, because to look education, teaching, it's something that needs an energetic person. And to look at someone reaching 60 years, that's far.
Yeah.
At least we can, retirement should be reduced to come to 55.
Yeah.
And early retirement can be a 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who are those that are willing to go to 55 can go to 55. However, early retirement should be at least 50 years.
Yeah.
And then the older ones will get out. So it, the industry, just to accommodate the new graduates.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, I think, That is a good point. I have a question to you, especially because, you know, in Namibia, you find, people who come to other, people's profession, which is, sometimes you can say it's a fair thing. But, is the Ministry of Education, regarding the high number of unemployed education graduates, is the Ministry of Education still, employing, it can be relief teachers or assistant teachers? Or temporary teachers who did not study education? Are you still seeing it?
Currently, they are no longer doing it, according to my own pay.
Okay.
Researchers.
Yeah.
Those that did not do education and were employed back then, they are still in the system.
Mm-hmm.
However, they are they are no longer taking in the new one.
Yeah.
But the ones that were there, they are still in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, okay, let us look at the future. I'm asking this, it's not really a personal question, but it's a question to every graduate. What other things do you do apart from looking for a job? I know you're a fresh graduate. Maybe you have other skills. What other things do you do just to support yourself while things are going to turn out like what we are all hoping, or what the government is all hoping?
In as much as the graduates want to do something apart from attending interviews, they are pushed in a corner where they cannot do anything really.
Mm-hmm.
Because to these interviews, let me say you have to attend interviews twice or three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
you cannot do anything because let me say you applied for to work in a store, let me say a supermarket somewhere.
Yeah.
No one will be willing to employ you and no one will be willing to give you chances to go attend interviews every day and every time. In as much as, or let me say you want to start up a business.
Yeah.
Business needs your time.
Yeah.
How will you then do this if you have to attend interviews, if you have to study thousands of documents? We are really pushed in a corner where we cannot just do anything in as much as we want to.
Yes, Nambo, thank you very much for your time and thank you very much for your input. And I just hope, I'm also in that concern because I also have cousins who did education and also my father is a teacher, by the way. But I really wish the system can also change and we have best teachers that can also assist our kids in the future. But anyway, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, David. Looking forward.
All right, cool.
Yes, you heard it yourself. That was Nambo Theophilus Oyolo Kenny. And she's one of the graduates just to express her views on this. For the sake of time, let us look at another speaker, who is Mr. Mwafashi Pandureni, a teacher by profession, and is also an activist who is wishing for the system to change so that other teachers can also be absorbed in the market, in the job that they studied for. Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are looking at economic development. We are also looking at issues which are affecting Namibian economic progress. It was indicated that about 15,000 education graduates are still struggling to find their jobs. They complain about corruption in the system, complain about the issues of cost regarding interviews and also inability for the government to absorb them. Yeah, just when you were listening to one of the graduates who is also trying to find a job, I now got into the conversation with an educator, teacher by profession, Mr. Mwafashi Panduleni, just to assist us to unpack this and to show his perspective or maybe what need to be done, what the government need to do. We also going to look at areas of education system and also other areas of solving this issue. Yes, Mr. Shipandureni, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment. How are you doing?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Let us start with the issues of around 15,000 education graduates still struggling to get into the system, either government or private sector. What is your take on this as a professional educator and as a teacher by profession?
That's a very good question. Thank you, David. Yeah. David.
Yes.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Eagle FM. Thank you so much for taking care of our people. I've been seeing you. You are on the record always.
Yeah.
Trying to run around and make sure that you are giving us updates on current issues and what is happening in the land of the brave. We appreciate this radio.
Yeah.
And we pray that God continue to bless you so much.
All right.
So, coming to the issue of unemployment, yes, it is very true that the figure is growing every year. And of course, education is not the only thing. We might focus on education today because this is the current issue on the table. We have seen our graduates, how they have handed in their petition and their demands. Our young people are tired, and it is quite understandable that this is an issue that needed an intervention long back to avoid where it has escalated right now. So my brother, this is a beast that all of us have to deal with. It doesn't spare anyone. When young people are not employed in any nation, it destabilizes the peace of the country. You know, these young people are very energetic.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They can organize themselves to do anything if they are not properly handled.
Yeah.
Remember, they have nothing to lose. They have everything to gain if they show wish, if their cries are not attended to.
Yeah.
So we are really dealing with an issue that touches everyone in this country. Not only the president, not only the Minister of Education or the Minister of Labor Relations, and you know, but everyone else affected.
Yeah, that is exactly where I want us to go, especially at the long term impact of unutilized knowledge of not only education graduates, but just in general, to say what can be the long-term impact either on Namibian economy, on Namibian stabilization, of having a lot of energetic young graduates who are not seeing the system after some have been in the at home for more than 6 years. Let us touch on that.
The long-term effect is that it will affect our economy in a bad way.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention names, but if you look at the number of foreigners that we have, especially from our neighboring Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And Zambia in those days, but Zambia is picking up. We'll be having our colleagues, we'll be having our people, great minds, they will be leaving this country to contribute to their expertise and their energy, and because every human is a resource. We are human, you and me speaking right now, we are human resources to this country. Most in most cases, when we talk about natural resources, we forgot that the first resources in any given nation are the competent people of that, healthy competent people of that a nation. And we, if you look at Zimbabwe, they have got, they have lost a lot of great minds, a lot of people to UK, United Kingdom, to United States of America, and to Namibia and South Africa and other African nations. And if you look at those people, they have secured employment into those countries. The question is, what is it that we cannot do to the people of your own country that other nation can be able to secure for them?
So
it is going to be very much devastating if this nation is not creating more opportunities to absorb these young people. So the situation will be out of, it's already out of hand. As we speak right now, we have got kids, we have got graduates that are working in bars and in supermarkets. And remember, those jobs were supposed to be the for the people that are not graduates, that do not have qualifications, you know?
Indeed.
And then let me tell you, as we speak right now, those young people, they are using drugs. They are breaking into our houses. I've just experienced it myself. My gas, my gas cylinder, the whole big gas cylinder was stolen last year. Just because of these guys, they have organized themselves. They go into village by village, house by house, stealing these cylinders to go and make life out of theft. So how do you call that? It's already an imbalance that we are experiencing in the country.
Yes. Let us look at the solution, because me and you, no one can argue with us to say the government has failed to accept that the reality on the ground, that the system is not absorbing education graduates and also other graduates. Let us look at maybe advice to assist, because the government is also struggling. That one I can also attest with you. What is the best mechanism to do this? Do we need to build more school? Do we need to abandon the interview process? Or do we need to find a way, even in government, to integrate these education graduates, even to become administrators within Ministry of Education, or upgrade them with other skills? What is your number one priority, or maybe the first two things that you think need to be done to absorb these graduates into the system?
Very good, David. You are putting it in a very good perspective to say we can stop complaining and start suggesting for solutions. Number one, our ministry, the Ministry of Labor and the Ministry of Education and other ministries that are experiencing this unemployment, should see to it that we need a national dialogue. They must set up a convene a meeting where they call all stakeholders from various, you know, expertise, where we come together from traditional leaders to, you know, to ministerial, you know, leaders, be it principals, directors, inspectors of education, parents, business community, presenters like yourself who have got, you know, good questions because you are the representatives of the people.
Yeah.
We come together, we convey a convention like we did in those years with our late Abraham Iyambo in Okahanja.
Mm-hmm.
It was very fruitful, and we had very, the education was picking up from there, but it started going down.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go to the solutions, let me state the big problems that we have in this country. Number one is the age group. So we have got so many elderly people that are still in employment that are supposed to be relieved of their duty to go and rest for the young people to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So our parliament should amend the act of, for instance, for a person to go into pension at 60, we should amend that at least so that people can go into early retirement as early as 50, and then maybe retirement at 55.
Mm-hmm.
I myself have made it myself that as a professional teacher, I will not be in this ministry for until I turn. I'm on my 42nd now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm still working out my way out. I'm studying something different. So I want to give space to the young people with young minds to take over. Because I've been here for so long.
Yeah.
It is time to say goodbye and other people to take over. So if I'm already thinking of retiring at 40 something, 45, 46 there.
Yeah.
Why are we? Because I can feel also the energy is going down. So what is so?
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Yeah, the conversation between myself and Mwafashi Pandureni is continuing.
See, about having people that are sick, people that are walking slowly to work because they are, because of old age, while we have got young people roaming in the street that are not having employment. So the government, what they need to do is just to give these people their packages to make sure they are happy and they go on as early as 50 or 55 into retirement. Secondly, there is no proper coordination between institutions of higher learning which are enrolling these graduates and the Ministry of Education. They might come up preaching to us that they have a good relations, but we want to see the results of that good relations.
Yeah.
How do you allow institutions of higher learning to enroll more students if we have already 15,000 that are roaming in the street without employment? So the government have to make stubborn decision and say, hello guys.
Yeah.
Hold on there. Let's talk about suspending the enrollment of 2026, for example, and so that we will have at least a year, maybe, or something, where we do not have enrollment, to try to solve the problem that is really, you know, disturbing at the moment. And then from there, we can have you know, formulated the good policies in place. That will help us to manage the situation in future, to make sure that the situation does not come out of hand as it is speak right now.
Yes, Mr. Spandureni, just before we go to the last question, let us look at the content of education. What the students, especially education students, what they are learning at university, do they have other additional skills that they will help them, at least if they don't make it, you know, at the education system, let me say at the teaching profession, because I'm asking this question because you mentioned it very clearly that you are also trying to move out, you're trying to study something else. Do education facilitators or professors at university level give these young teachers skills that they can use beyond teaching and learning, either maybe to be absorbed in a certain ministry or either in terms of, you know, additional skills that they can use even in the job market, either in business or other things, or is just pure professional degree in education?
That's a very good question. Unfortunately, that's not happening.
Yeah.
The only place that I've seen that happening is with this youth, how do you call this youth training center, whereby these young people are trained everything. How do you call this youth?
National Youth Service.
Uh-huh. The people there are trained everything, be it as to be a soldier,
yeah,
to be a business person. They got all the training.
Yeah.
But with the Ministry of Education, during our time, it was not there. And during this time now, we have seen these student teachers that we are mentoring when they come for practice at schools.
Yeah.
We don't see that authority. We
mm-hmm.
don't see that with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very good question, intervention, that we can also start now thinking in that direction if it is possible.
Yeah.
But it will also be now those people that are coming from National Youth Service,
yeah,
they will now compete in the market with those that are trained in those directions as well. So it's a challenge, actually.
Yeah.
But my brother,
yeah,
to be short, Namibia has everything. Namibia has all it takes. There is no need, a country which is not a landlocked country. We have got a sea. We have got uranium. We have got diamond. I was told the other day that when they do the calculations, you in Namibia, the production of diamonds that they produce, every one of us is equivalent to 11 diamonds.
No, we can even have more than that.
We have our 11 diamonds.
Yeah.
But do we live really like those people?
do we even have a quota of that? Yeah. Do we even have a quota of that? Okay.
This management also comes to play. Last year, I've talked about the Ohangwena region was renting.
Mm.
The Minister of Education was renting into those buildings. And they were paying virtually about 350,000 per month renting. That whole money was just going into renting. So mismanagement of ministerial finances is also a problem because at the end of the day, we do not have enough cash. Enough finances to build more classrooms so that we accommodate more teachers from the street.
Let us look at last three, because in situations like this, the only thing apart from hope is also motivation and the ability also to stand and moving forward. Now, what is your message to those, especially education graduates? I know everybody want to get an opportunity, but especially education graduates who are at the center of this conversation today. What is your message to them, especially those who have been around for 6 years looking for a job, called to this interview, to this? What do you have for them, especially when they are in this difficult situation? What is your motivation?
They must be very strong.
Yeah.
I remember in 2007 when I graduated around May, April there, and I was not employed for some months.
Yeah.
I did not stay home.
Mm-hmm.
I just stood up and went to any closest school in my vicinity where I did my primary education.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, Mr. Principal, while I'm looking for employment, give me subject I want to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whether you are giving me something or not.
All I
want is to teach, because I will be forgetting what I've learned from school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the university.
Mm-hmm.
So they were shocked. And I was called the first black person to volunteer. I was called the black volunteer. So I was known So I volunteered for 3 months,
yeah,
and they gave me a very good testimonial,
yeah,
that which I have started attaching to my application, that eventually in June, July, I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
So they must do extraordinary things. They must think out of their box. They must try to do anything, avoid the crime.
Yeah.
They must just keep themselves busy to make sure that, you know, they keep up the pace while good things comes their way, because it appears that our leaders are willing to engage and,
yeah,
to listen to their cry.
Yeah.
So my motivation to them is never late. We know some,
yeah,
of them have been there for 5 years, and it's very discouraging when you are 5 years in the street and,
yeah,
someone who just come yesterday got employed.
Mm-hmm.
It pains a lot of people in this country, and it creates emotional challenges to our graduates. So I'm encouraging them. We are remembering them.
Yeah.
We keep on, you know, making videos to encourage them and to speak to them.
Yeah.
And where they need our assistance in terms of, maybe coming up with programs, they are welcome to engage us, so that we are in this problem together. They must know that we are in this problem together.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Shipandureni. Thank you very much for your time and also input. And we are always very happy to get your insight.
Yes. Dear listeners, we are continuing the business and economic segment. That was Mr. Mwafa Shipandureni. He's a teacher by profession, and he's also one of those individuals who are willing to help those who are trying to achieve where they want to go. So you can engage us. We have 1 minute. You can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So you can air your view and give your inputs, particularly how to address this increment in unemployment, not only education graduates, although today we are looking at education graduates who are going up to, you know, the prediction are saying it's at 15,000, and it's a crisis. And me and you can agree that the government is also trying to fail, but it's only through our engagement, it's only through our assistance also to our government to say this is a better way of assisting us, and this is how you can utilize the resources. So dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment. Thank you very much for your time, and do not forget to download the Eagle FM app. Do not forget to follow us in all our social media platform. Don't forget to like our page, Eagle FM Namibia. Download the Villager newspaper, download the Eagle FM app, download Iba app. And yeah, for me, David Shombe, thank you very much. And until next time, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly and also Naruvanda.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-